Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or black forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, I'm Ezra Zaid. You're listening to Finding the Funny. Finding the Funny is where we'll be speaking to and speaking about people who are in this funny business of entertainment and comedy. So be it stand-up comics, writers, hosts, actors, and beyond, we'll be discussing everything from their work, their inspirations, and what decisions and relationships impacted their craft.
Speaking of education, Hillary Clinton was campaigning last week and stopped at a school where children as young as 5 were learning to work with computers. I thought this was nice. The former First Lady actually took the time to show the young people how to use that all-important delete files button. I thought that was very nice to do.
The 2016 American presidential elections have just ended, and in light of that, we'll be taking a look at the lighter side of this contest and observe how comedy has shaped this spectacularly crazy election season. And joining me on the show to break it all down is stand-up comedian Dr. Jason Leong. Jason, thanks for joining me. And I think what's been so fascinating, not just this past year, I mean, the American presidential campaign goes on for nearly 2 years.
Yes.
And you go through the entire process of the primaries and the respective candidates on both parties. And man, it's been a lot of material and a lot of comedy. And in some instances, you might actually hear some elements of debate and policy. But on most occasions, it's been a
entertainment.
It's been entertainment. Yeah. It's been a fun ride for comedy.
Yeah, that's right. And this is reflected on all the comedians coming out from the US with all their puns, their parodies and satires. It's really, really an amazing time for writers of comedy shows in America.
So what has your observation been like this election season when it comes to a lot of these late night comedians talking about these issues? Because obviously it's part of the fabric of American culture and American talk shows. Mm-hmm. It's been certainly fascinating to see all of the different varieties of late night comedians give their own spin about this election season.
What is striking is that I say across the board, all the late night talk show hosts and all the comedians, they are skewering Donald Trump from day one. You know, and I think this is just because of reflective of how entertaining it is it to see Donald Trump try and become the next U.S. president. You know, and this kind of obsession with Trump, I last saw this when during the Bill Clinton era, when he was found to have a sex scandal with Monica Lewinsky, and Letterman just would not let him go.
Right,
remember?
That's right, yeah.
And then it was up to a point where even when the scandal was over, Letterman would still do a classic Clinton joke.
Right.
Right? And then he'll deliver the same joke like a few years back, you know? So, it's by and large, everyone is skewering Donald Trump, as all the comedians. And also, I think it's as if they are not talking about anything else except Donald Trump, because Donald Trump dominates the headlines, and it is their duty and responsibility to reflect what is being talked about in the nation, in America. So this is why like Donald Trump is dominating the comedy scene right now.
I'm about to go out for my interview with Jimmy Fallon. I'll call you back after I comb my hair. Talk to you in 3 hours. Wow. I look fantastic. No. We look fantastic. And I mean really fantastic. All right, me. We've got a big interview with Jimmy Fallon coming up. But let's be honest. Fallon's a lightweight. No way he deserves to interview me. The only one qualified to interview me is me.
live from the Late Show. I'm Stephen Colbert. Everybody feeling all right tonight? Thanks very much. Well, thank you for your energy, because we were here late last night. We did the show live last night, and we're a little, we've got a Trump hangover. Now, a lot of people say Trump not promising to accept the results disqualifies him from the presidency. So today, in response, Trump assured voters that he believes in the peaceful transfer of power.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to make a major announcement today. I would like to promise and pledge to all of my voters and supporters, and to all of the people of the United States, that I will totally accept the results of this great and historic presidential election if I win.
Come on, you gotta give it to him. You know, you really got me for a second there. I actually believed you had a shred of integrity, you know. What an amazing psych out, you know, a national psych out. It's like that classic joke where you offer to shake somebody's hand, but when they go to shake it, you undermine our system of government. So, how did we get to the point? Where the fate of the American experiment rests in Donald Trump's tiny, whining loser hands.
It's been a little bit overwhelming, in my opinion, with a lot of the coverage on this election season, because you had the usual stalwarts like John Stewart, who was absent in this particular election campaign. And you had a lot of his proteges go off onto their different respective series. So you think about Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. He helms that particular franchise this election season. Colbert, who was very influential in his ways with the Colbert Report, has a new platform with CBS on The Late Show, but the network and the stage is so much different compared to his time in Comedy Central. So lots of different types of movements happening on the comedy landscape.
It's a quite a different scene now than the last election, I would say. But I think everyone has kept to their own styles and sensibilities. And I see, like, for example, Colbert, right now, he used to be this, he used to parody the Republicans in his very over-the-top character in Stephen Colbert, in the Colbert Report. But now he's coming out on his own, you know, and now he's trying to find himself. And it is no secret that the Stephen Colbert that we know, the person, is also highly critical of, or rather, he has taken Hillary's side, so to speak. You know, and but that doesn't mean that these comedians are also not making fun of Hillary. You know, when the email scandal broke out way earlier, they also spent a lot of time skewering her. You know, like jokes like something like along the lines of "I want to support Hillary, I emailed her, but she deleted it." That kind of stuff. So
very, very simple material, but very, very effective.
Yes. So everyone is fair game, actually, and I think. Every comedian wants to be able to make fun of both sides. That's what a good comedian does. Unfortunately, or fortunately for us, one side seems to provide all the jokes and the material for them to make fun of.
What I'm trying to say is Donald Trump is presidential. He just happens to be running on the wrong continent. In fact, once you realize that Trump is basically the perfect African president, you start to notice the similarities everywhere. Like the level of self-regard.
I say not in a braggadocious way. I've made billions and billions of dollars.
I made a tremendous amount of money. I'm really rich.
I have a great temperament.
They love me anyway. I don't have to do this.
I've done an amazing job.
I was born with a certain intellect. God helped me by giving me a certain brain.
I bet that's the one time that God's like, I don't need the praise. It's cool. That's you. I'm cool. Now, is that extraordinary level of bragging presidential? Well, let's ask a man who actually was president. Idi Amin, former president and best president of Uganda.
The people likes me very much. I am very popular. I am very powerful. I am the one who has got the money. I have got a very good brain.
Now,
Because he himself is a caricature. He himself is a very larger than life, over the top character, and he says a lot of remarkably stupid things, and it's therefore very easy to make fun of him. Just to make a very quick example, he is like the Ibrahim Ali of America, but on steroids. So that's why it's easy. It's like it's very easy to write about him, to make fun of him, to skewer him. Every joke has to have a victim, so to speak. So I think when they write jokes, they are very aware that they're going to make, say, Republicans feel a certain way, you know. And I think they don't shy from that. And for me personally, when I see them, I think they embrace that, you know. They are no longer shy about, hey, this is a comedy show. It's going to be a little bit on the liberal side, on the blue side. So you're just going to take it, you know. And that's why I think it's a major shift now in this late night talk show scene.
More on Finding the Funny with Dr. Jason Leong as we take a look at the wacky, crazy US election season that's just ended. Don't go anywhere. It's BFM 89.9.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
Bruce Freddie Morrissey, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. I'm Ezra Zayed. It's Finding the Funny. On the back of the 2016 US election season, joining me in the studio is comedian Dr. Jason Leong as we take a look at some of the best comedic bits on late night television.
Hillary Clinton got quite a scare tonight. I guess a trick-or-treater came to the door dressed as a lie detector. Oh. And I tell you, that Donald Trump, he is a smart businessman. When kids rang his bell and yelled trick-or-treat, Trump yelled trick, and before the kids grabbed any candy, declared bankruptcy. Boom, just like that. I had a great costume this year. Earlier tonight, I put a douchebag on my head when I was Billy Bush. Yeah. As you know, Billy Bush got fired for the outrageous things he and Donald Trump said about women. See, I think Trump should hire Billy. This way he could grab Bush whenever he wanted. Understand. See, the greatest thing about our country, and this is why I'm optimistic, out of more than 325 million Americans, we were able to narrow it down to the two best-loved, most-qualified people. That's unbelievable. That is a testament to us. You know, I watched both political conventions this summer, and here's something I don't understand. Like at the Republican convention, Rudy Giuliani spoke. He's got three wives. Newt Gingrich spoke. He's got three wives. Then Donald Trump spoke. He's got three wives. The only one with one wife was Mitt Romney, and he's the Mormon. It didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense. And did you, did you see Bill Clinton at the Democratic convention where he introduced his new campaign slogan, I'm with her, and her, and her, and you too, Donald? Yeah.
Traditionally, a lot of these hosts of these variety talk shows were ambiguous in yes. the way that they would lean. So somebody that comes to mind that really embodied that was Jay Leno with The Tonight Show back in the day. He would have both candidates on. Mm-hmm. His ratings were through the roof. But Jay Leno was also like a comedy writer.
Yes.
And so he wouldn't be what you described as a a comedian with a conscience.
Yes.
He was just a comedian that was doing out jokes. And similar to what you see almost with the likes of Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel, right? Mm-hmm. They are able to construct these very effective, yummy, good at the tummy type jokes.
Everyone can laugh, kind of family-friendly stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, that's, I think it's a question of time, because back in the day, I think when Jay Leno was the family-friendly, he has both parties on his show, the contrast between the candidates were not as stark and vast. You know, like you had Barack Obama and John McCain, you know, and they are different sides of the coin, but they're still a coin nonetheless. This is Hillary Clinton and a maniac, you know, and it's reflected in how the public view this too. Even Obama once said, he said, you know, I used to disagree with Mitt Romney and John McCain, but I had no doubt that if they had won, they can do the job. Donald Trump is just temperamentally unfit. So it's a very different election season compared to the rest.
Has anybody stood up for you this election season when it comes to the late night comedians? Has anybody caught your eye?
Oh, yeah. For me, it's Stephen Colbert, because he is, I think when he does talk about the election, that's when he really shines, because you know that this is a guy that consumes a lot more political news. He's an old hat at his game compared to his contemporaries. He's probably second only to Jon Stewart when it comes to political commentary. So yeah, I think he really stands out, and you can tell. He does a lot of live shows during the key moments in the presidential election. So I've always watched him, and yeah, he's always on the money. He's always on the ball.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Debate Night, Americana style, a nation in the balance. Tonight, the leading Republican faces off against arguably his greatest opponent, himself. Tonight, it is mano a mouth-o. Tonight, it is Donald against Trump, or as they're known by their celebrity couple name, Dump. Gentlemen. Gentlemen, you know the rules. You say the first thing that comes into your mind, and no matter what it is, your poll numbers go up. All right, let's get started. Donald, first of all, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
And I'd also like to welcome you, Mr. Trump.
I wrote The Art of the Deal.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did, sir. But in fairness, you have not read it. Donald, let's start with you. Your chief Republican rival, Ted Cruz, has attacked you for skipping tonight's Fox News debate. Do you believe your absence will improve Cruz's chances?
I don't think Ted Cruz has a great chance, to be honest with you. He's a nasty guy. Nobody likes him. Nobody in Congress likes him. Nobody likes him anywhere once they get to know him.
Okay, so no one likes Ted Cruz. Mr. Trump, a rebuttal.
I really do. I'd like Ted Cruz a lot.
Okay. All right. Right out of the gate, there's a strong difference of opinion between our one candidate.
I have found Stephen Colbert on The Late Show somewhat disappointing in that I haven't seen a similar bite that he used to have on The Colbert Report, but I think he's almost being a little bit too careful with the stage that has been presented to him. Yeah. And I think that contrast has been very, very stark.
Yes.
That
you're saying he's holding back?
I don't think it's holding back. I think it's a conscious change of approach.
Okay, the angle is different now.
The angle is different.
Angle of attack, okay.
I think it's because he's being respectful of his new audience now, that he is no longer somebody that has the fangs of that Stephen Colbert from The Colbert Report. I guess that level of consistency or contrast when Donald Trump is on the guest chair and they're having a conversation, I find that change is problematic for hosts and comedians, because how do you become the interviewer after you have just roasted somebody relentlessly for about 5 minutes.
Yes.
And in an ideal scenario, you would like to see some sort of consistency to that bite, but I think that's a lot more challenging now.
Yeah. So number one, I think there's a big difference now, because he when he was on the Colbert Report, he was playing a character. He was in character on camera. But now he is on his own, so he's trying to find his own voice. And for any comedian, that's very tough. And for him to try and find his voice on national TV
in a short space of time,
on that platform, the previously held by David Letterman, it's a huge responsibility. So I would say, taking to account all that, he has done a remarkable job.
I also want to apologize to you, because I've said a few things about you over the years that are, you know, in polite company, perhaps are unforgivable.
Almost
unforgivable.
And some nice things. And some nice things. Not too many.
I don't remember saying anything nice. But anyway, I hope you'll accept my apology.
Accept it.
And I just want to give you the opportunity. Is there anybody you'd like to apologize to right now yourself?
No.
No?
No. Maybe the audience.
No one
How about
to apologize
the audience?
At all. Okay.
No apologies.
When he interviewed Donald Trump, he did seem a little tame. Number one, I think he was trying to make light of Donald Trump as a candidate. He didn't want to validate this guy's existence in the primary race. You know, he didn't want to treat him with the respect that you would give to a proper candidate
right.
at that time.
All
that's
right.
how he thought. Mm. And number two, I think this Donald Trump interview came after he interviewed Ted Cruz. And when he interviewed Ted Cruz, he was harsh. I'm pretty sure a lot of people, the network executives or the producers say, you cannot be so harsh on your guests, because then nobody will want to come on your show.
Yeah, and of course, it's early days of this late show project.
Yes.
And it's a very delicate balance. Yeah, and I completely appreciate that perspective as well. Don't go anywhere, as after this, we'll be taking a look at the institution that is Saturday Night Live. This evening's focus is comedy, as we take a look back on the American presidential election season. On Finding the Funny, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
Hey folks, I'm Ezra Zaid. You're listening to Finding the Funny. The 2016 American presidential elections have come to a close. Primaries, conventions, debates, and an endless parade of scandals. Those were the twists and turns of the U.S. presidential election, and not least the final result, which have provided comedians with ample opportunity for comedy. Comedian Jason Leong and I continue to break down the best bits of this 2016 American election season, and you can't look no further than Saturday Night Live. Well, you know, we can't go on talking about late-night comedy without talking about Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
They've been doing it for 40 years when it comes to lampooning presidential candidates and the entire election season. I think one of the more interesting things that's come out of SNL is that, you know, they've had great moments with, you know, Larry David being the guy who parodies Bernie Sanders. Alec Baldwin has been terrific in portraying Donald Trump. Kate McKinnon, who's of course a staff member, has been just a ray of sunlight when it comes to capturing so many of these different elements about Hillary Clinton.
And sometimes stealing the scene away from Alec Baldwin.
Yes, absolutely. And SNL, one of the things that I wanted to share on the show tonight was this recent clip when Tom Hanks was hosting. It was basically what they were calling Black Jeopardy. Kenan Thompson, who's the host, and you've got two black female contestants with a third contestant that is clearly Caucasian and white. He's played by Tom Hanks, and he's wearing a
redneck.
He's got the redneck thing, and as the camera pans to this Black Jeopardy show, and you have a host who is black, two contestants who are black, and a white guy, you're going, ooh, what is this skit going to be about?
Is Black Jeopardy.
Yeah, what up? What up, what up, what up? Welcome to Black Jeopardy, the only TV game show where the audience is in church clothes. I'm your host, Darnell Hayes. Our contestants are Keely.
Hi.
Shanice.
Okay, now.
And Doug.
How are you doing, sir?
Oh, man. Doug, you sure you're ready to play Black Jeopardy?
They told me a fella can win some money, so let's win me some money. Get her done.
Well, I admire your confidence.
So the first stumbling block any Malaysian would have when they watch this clip is that they must understand the mechanism of the game show Jeopardy.
Yeah, if you missed Alex Trebek in the 90s, this reference would have been slightly problematic.
Yeah, so the the mechanism of Jeopardy, the game show, which is their parodying, is like the host will provide the answer, right? Mm-hmm. And the contestant must provide the question. For example, if, say, I were the host and I say, Nasi Lemak, McDonald's, KFC, char kway teow.
The question is,
what are unhealthy foods that Malaysians like to eat?
Yes.
And then you get, then that's correct, so you get a point. So in this one, Keenan was just giving out a very stereotypical black situations, African-American things that they do in life.
Cultural references that would be so privy to African-American audiences.
Yes.
But then you have this contestant in the guise of Tom Hanks that is like, well, he technically should know it.
Yes. And then, so what happens in this clip is that the host is like, why is this white guy here? And then he slowly realizes, hey, when I give the answers of black life or black culture, the white guy seems to either know or rather can relate. So this segment is great because it kind of tells people that, hey, actually, at the end of the day, black people and white people are actually the same. We have the same things.
Well, they have more in common than they would actually like to believe.
Okay, Keely, you're our returning champ. You pick.
Okay, let's stay with you better for 400.
Okay, the answer, your job wants to take $40 a month out of your check for a 401k. Shanice.
What is, you better give me that money so I can buy me some scratch-offs.
Yeah, you damn right. You damn right. I mean, why do I need a retirement plan when I got Monopoly Millionaires Club?
Yeah, hey. I play that every week.
Yeah, well, that's good for you. Okay. The board is yours, Shanice.
Let's go with they out there saying for 200.
Okay, the answer, they out here saying the new iPhone wants your thumbprint for your protection. Oh, okay then, Doug. Well,
what is, I don't think so. That's how they get you.
Yes! Yes!
That's it. I don't trust that.
Me either.
No, I read that go straight to the government. Mm.
Not bad, dog.
When I first saw it, this particular sketch could have easily gone this is what black people do and they laugh, and this is what white people do and they laugh, and that could have been the end of it. On this particular sketch, it builds gradually when Kenan Thompson, the host of Black Jeopardy, says, hey,
you're all right.
You're all right.
Okay. Let's go to they out here saying for 8.
Okay, the answer there, they out here saying that every vote counts. Oh, Doug again.
What is, come on, they already decided who wins even before it happens.
Yes! 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 And the Illuminati figured that out months ago. That's another one for Doug.
Okay, we're doing it. Let's try they out here saying for 6.
Okay. They out here saying this movie doesn't deserve an Oscar. Keely.
What is Tyler Perry's Boo a Madea Halloween?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when that man puts on a muumuu, I'm just transported.
You know, I got to tell you, I love those movies. I bought a box set at Walmart, and if I can laugh and pray in 90 minutes, that is money well spent.
Oh, you know what, sir? I really appreciate you saying that. I like that. I really appreciate it. Oh, no, it's all good.
There is this empathy that manifests between the two black contestants and Tom Hanks. Kenan Thompson walks over and like shakes his hand, but Tom Hanks sort of holds his hands up, like, oh, don't shoot me kind of thing. And what's really fascinating is the ending.
Well, you all right, Doug. Doug, I have to say it has been a pleasure.
Well, you know, right back at you, my brother.
All right, well, let's take a look at our final Jeopardy category. Lives that matter. Well, it was good while it lasted, Doug.
I know I got a lot to say about this.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. When we come back, we'll play the national anthem and just see what the hell happens.
When everyone is all chummy and all, and Keenan thinks he has found his new best friend.
Yes.
So then they play the answer, which is all lives matter. Now, for those of you who are not who don't understand the context, in America, there's this movement called Black Lives Matter in response to all these shootings of unarmed African Americans, and so Black Lives Matter became quite huge.
Yes,
and then the counter movement to this is All Lives Matter.
That is not just a case of how Black Lives Matter, it's All Lives Matter, and that's how you sort of couch the argument in that particular way.
And so this All Lives Matter movement, it's trying to discount the fact that in America, Black African Americans do suffer from a type of stigma and prejudice, mm-hmm. right? That other races wouldn't understand. So this All Lives Matter is like a trump card for white folks, lah, right? Mm-hmm. And then so Keenan, the host of Black Jeopardy, plays this All Lives Matter, expecting Tom Hanks to go, "Yeah, that's crap." But then Tom Hanks goes, he just hesitates for a moment. And then, all right, that's it. Oh, there's no more. We all, you're not the black guy I thought we were. And it's so funny.
And I love that this is the climax of the entire scene, because you can also view in this other way that because the white Caucasian voter is far more complex than what we give them credit for, that when he says, "Well, actually, I've got quite a few views on this," and the easy interpretation of that, well, you know, he's a racist person at the heart of it.
Yes.
But maybe the answer that we don't hear from that character that Tom Hanks plays is that, well, maybe you don't know my other insecurities about this particular issue.
Yes.
It's perhaps much more complicated than the caricature that we paint a lot of these Donald Trump supporters as.
Yeah. If I were to overanalyze, is that this guy, let's assume that this guy, Keenan, the host, really likes the Tom Hanks character.
Yes.
And then, so in actually the clip, Tom Hanks goes, He goes, he hesitates that one, and Keenan goes, "All right, thank you very much, that's the wrong answer." Maybe Keenan thinks that this new friend is going to say something incredibly racist.
And he
goes,
wanna...
"Thank you so much, I'm going to save your from saying stupid things on air," and cuts it. It could be interpreted that way as well.
Yeah, and it's been going so well, let's not ruin this moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I think this scene had a lot of very subtle nuances.
I think what's been interesting for you and I on this particular program is that we're both not American.
Yeah.
We're both Malaysian.
Yeah.
And our interest towards the presidential elections, as with any other election, is of great interest. But this element of comedy that makes it so accessible for the international viewer to view the American landscape, it is certainly fascinating, isn't it? I mean, that you and I can talk at length about these things. We can poke our noses and try to sort of understand these cultural nuances, these political aspects to these candidates. How does that make you feel?
Well, for me as a comedian, I just feel very much, very jealous at the comedy writers and the comedians in America, because they get to make fun of their candidates without holding back, with no fear.
Right.
Of
do you feel something different there,
dude,
Jason Leong?
Yeah, I have so many things to say about our current government and our current leaders,
right,
leaders with inverted commas, and so many things I can say and make fun of, but in America you can. So it's like living in a fantasy world, you know, and it kind of like it works the brain a little bit, you know.
It jogs your comedic stamina and your comedic writing a lot sharper as well.
Yeah, and it's, some of us, like, we know more about the insides and outsides of Hillary and Donald Trump than our own leaders in Malaysia. So that is that.
My thanks to comedian Dr. Jason Leong for joining me on the program. Folks, that's all the time we have for this evening. We'll be continuing our coverage and analysis of the U.S. presidential elections after the news, so stay tuned. If you missed any part of this program, you can find it by downloading the new and improved BFM app from the App Store or Google Play, or head to bfm.my/funny to download the podcast. I'm Ezra Zayed, and this has been Finding the Funny, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold-cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.